Mark 16, verse number 15. You want to say it with me? Let's stand and say it with me. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll then preach a little bit tonight. Okay, ready? And what's the scripture start with? And he said unto them, now this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And what is his words? Go ye into where? And to every creature. Every place we go, we ought to be preaching the gospel. How many wore their pins today? Did you? Did you pass out pins yet? No, you're going to pass them all out today? You passed them out? You have anybody? Anybody here that wasn't here last night? Hold your hand way up high. Oh, we got some folks here. Got some extra ones. Good. But every place we're going, every place you guys and gals are going now for these next weeks, these 5 weeks, as you're building for your big day, come here the last Sunday of your campaign. 601. You ought to have that focus. You ought to be looking at people and understand that there's folks out there that still don't know Jesus. See, when I was lost and I was on my way to hell, I'd go to a ball game and I'd sit there in the stands and you say, well, Ed, what do you see out there? And I'd always say, well, I see a lot of baseball fans. After I got saved and I went to a ball game, you say to me, well, Ed, what do you see? I said, I see souls. I see souls. People for whom Jesus died. And they're lost. We can't lose sight, beloved, of what the Scripture says. He that winneth souls is wise. And that's what God has saved you and me for, to be that witness, to be that communicator of the gospel. That's why I got so excited yesterday morning in Sunday school about your buses. See, what that's communicating to me, that there's people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Pastor, that has joined you in your vision to reach Greene County for Christ. Because those buses aren't driving themselves. There's a driver behind the wheel. There's workers on that bus. And they're giving of themselves on Saturday to go out and tell a lost world about Jesus. That's mommies and daddies. And I understand people that send their kids to church on buses, they're looking at you as a babysitter. Thank God they're looking at you as a babysitter. We had a lot of folks like that in Rosemont that looked at us as babysitters. And when their kids came home and got a message that they gave to their mom and dad, and when God spoke to their hearts, and then I had the joy of going into the home and knocking on the door and saying to them, you sent your child to our Sunday school last Sunday, and I'm so glad. I just want to stop by and thank you for doing that. Had the joy of leading dozens and dozens of them to Christ, seeing God change their life. I never had that opportunity if it wasn't for Jerry Murphy and if it wasn't for, you know, those godly people that were on those buses. And that's what it's all about. That's what preaching conference is about. At least that's what it's about, Ed Johnson. Well, I said I wasn't going to preach long. I already broke my word. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, what a joy it is to be a child of the King. And I pray now for these next moments that you'll allow freedom to come upon this, your servant. I ask, God, you quicken the mind, loosen the tongue. Pray, Father, that you'd open hearts. May the Spirit of the living God do a work in hearts and lives here tonight. For we know without you, we can do nothing. Bless your word to our hearts tonight now. We'll give you the praise we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Doesn't take a Bible teacher to understand what Jesus is saying here in this one verse of Scripture in our Bibles tonight. And on the basis of that Scripture, I've always embraced the position that I'm convinced that every child of God ought to be understanding of a fact, and that is, Jesus said, you are my witnesses. So we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to be that witness for Christ. And as you look at that verse of Scripture, it's interesting to notice several things that the Scripture here it states. Because, first of all, who's speaking it? Well, the Lord Jesus is speaking it. The Son of God. the one who hung on Calvary's cross. But thank God death could not hold him. He came out of that grave. And so it's the Savior himself who's giving us this command, this teaching, this responsibility that we have. And it's his parting command. This is the last thing that he is giving to his disciples. The last thing. I was the oldest of six kids. The last thing my mother and dad said, Doc, when they would go someplace, I was always in charge. I was always responsible. Terrible being the oldest kid in the family. The only blessing of being the oldest kid in the family is you got the new clothes. That was the only blessing. And there was nobody, my daddy's clothes didn't fit me, so I was safe there. But I got the new clothes. But other than that, it was terrible. I mean, I could be taking care of two of them, you know, because they were killing each other, and let another one get in trouble, and I got home, and it was my fault that rascal was doing what he was doing because I was settling some issue over here with two others. It was just absolutely a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But the last thing Mother would say to me when she walked out the door, Now, Eddie, you make those children behave. You make them behave. That was her last command. And I knew what I was in for, because there were two girls and there were two boys at that time. Number six had not come along at that time. He wasn't born until into the Second World War. But it was amazing. It was amazing to see every time she walked out the doors, it was that command. They might be going shopping. They might be going someplace else. But that was the last command. This is the Savior's parting command here that he gives them. And the other thing we want to remember that it's relating to our dispensation. It's relating to the age of grace, the church age. So we are responsible for what he is saying here because it's relating to our particular time. And then of course the command is also. It's also a binding command because what God says, he means. So this isn't something that we can say, well, I think I'll accept this and I won't accept another guy says, well, that doesn't pertain to me. No, it pertains to every blood-bought child of God. That we are to be witnesses. We're to understand that we have an obligation and a responsibility to do exactly what Jesus said here. Go into all the world. Be responsible for the preaching of the gospel. That's one of the reasons why I love Faith Promise Missions. Faith Promise Missions is a way that I have an opportunity to send the message to people that I will never meet through the missionary. And when that missionary brings those people in Christ in First Baptist Church of Rosemont or Blessed Baptist Church of Jacksonville is participating in that missionary's ministry, that church is participating in the rewards that missionary is going to bring to pass through the witnessing of the gospel. And so you look at all aspects of the ministry, and that's what you will see. And so I am convinced, people, that we cannot lose that vision of all the world. I preach missions conferences quite a bit. One of the things I'm always saying, as a matter of fact, my three conferences that I've had before this conference this year was all missions conferences. And I'm always saying you should increase your missionary giving every year because there's a greater need every year. The world's population is growing. The world is becoming more wicked. And on and on and on you go. I don't care if it's a dollar a week or 50 cents a week that you increase your faith promise mission giving, but you ought to seek to do that. Because, again, it's understanding what the mission is for the child of God, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so the same thing with the Sunday school ministry. And I can take every aspect of the ministry and go down. Why do you teach Sunday school? You teach Sunday school because you understand there's lost people and you want to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. You don't teach it because it's such a you know, well-paying position in the church. You don't do that. So this idea of preaching conferences, I think, is wonderful. But when we simply want to forget about the obligation and the responsibility of the child of God to be that witness for Christ, well, then I simply say we need to have times at preaching conferences where we're reminded of what our responsibility is. Because millions and millions and more, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of more people are living in our world today than when Jesus gave that command to his disciples. You know, the Muslim religion, which is said to be the fastest growing religion in the United States of America, wasn't even in existence at that time. There was no Mohammed at that time. And yet, look at what is taking place today. It's absolutely incredible to see in the last 20 years the number of Muslim mosques that have been built in this nation in comparison to where are we at with our building of New Testament soul-winning independent fundamental Baptist churches. When I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota, there wasn't one Muslim mosque in the entire state of Minnesota. Why, just in the metroplex of Minnesota or Minneapolis, St. Paul today, there's over a half a dozen mosques. They tell us that in our prisons, the largest religion in our prisons today is the Muslim religion. God in heaven help us. So we must understand, people. We got to realize that the need is greater today than it has ever been. And so the preaching of the gospel is every creature has an obligation and a responsibility to be a part of that, you know, that responsibility God has given us. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the whosoever. And so we always got to be on the outlook for the whosoever's. And the only way we're going to do that is to be cognizant, to be conscious that we are to be the witnesses that Jesus says is to go into all the world. Because he died for the world. I said last night, why did God look over the embattlements of heaven and bring this lost, hell-bound sinner to faith in Christ? You know, August 17, 1952, I wasn't looking for God. Matter of fact, the only reason I went to church was because my sister came home and announced that she had accepted Christ. She was saved. And she wanted me to go to church with her the next Sunday. And I didn't know the sun was up at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. And she would waken me up and ruin my sleep and all the rest of it. And I saw bedroom slippers at her and everything else, you know. And finally, she was a woman. And that's fruitless. Don't good night. They don't understand. But I finally told her, I said, "Sister, listen, if you let me sleep, I'll go to church with you some night." And so she did. She let me sleep. Well, what's one more lie? So I wasn't going to church. I just wanted her to let me alone, let me sleep on Sunday. 6 weeks or so afterwards, we're sitting at the supper table, and she announces to my father that, you know, hey, your son said he'd go to church with me, and he hasn't gone yet. My dad looks at me and says, "Is that right, son?" I go, "Well, I'm getting around to it." He says, "That's right, you'll get around to it this Sunday." And since I like living, I was going to go. I went to church, and that's how I was introduced into church. The preacher said amen, I said goodbye, and I was out the door. But the Word of God had been preached, and the Spirit of God had taken that Word and had just burned it in my heart. And I couldn't get away from it. It wasn't too long afterwards, August 17 comes along, and I'm walking down the aisle in an evening service. And God's changing my life. And there's a lot of, you know, Ed Johnsons out there yet today who need Jesus Christ. And God in heaven help us to see that and to understand that. And then when you stop and you look at what we're reading here in this particular verse of Scripture, the responsibility of preaching the gospel to every creature, it is our responsibility. We have an obligation. As soon as you and I are born into God's family, we're responsible for taking, you know, the gospel to a lost and dying world. My father was saved at the age of 76. I call it one of God's miracles. Because usually when you're as old as he was, you don't get saved. And the one thing that kept my dad from accepting Christ, as I tried again and again and again to witness to him and to tell him there was a God in heaven that loved him and he sent his son to die for him, my father would simply tell me how he remembered when I was just a baby and he took care of me and he changed my diapers and he provided food for me. And then he would really get irritated and he'd start telling me about all the deacons in the Baptist churches in Miami, Florida that he worked with, and they were as wicked as the devil himself. God in heaven help us, people. When we understand what the Word of God is saying here, our obligation and our responsibility is. No one ever told my father about Christ. As a matter of fact, the way he got saved was I led a man to the Lord Jesus Christ. That man, when his father had a massive heart attack, called me and I went to the Minneapolis Medical Center and led his dad to Christ in the intensive care unit with more tubes and wires stuck in him than you could shake a stick at in a month of Sundays. And I led him to Christ. And then when that man and his dad was on a business trip to Tampa, Florida, they went up to where my dad was living, retired in Ocala, Florida, and led my father to Jesus Christ. I couldn't lead my dad to Christ, but I could lead the dad to Christ who led my dad to Christ and the granddad of that guy who was there when my dad got saved. That's what this thing called the gospel is all about. That responsibility is to every single child of God. And then you look at your scripture again, and you'll see this, I think, it's very easily. The preaching of the gospel, it's limited. It's limited. You say, what do you mean when you say that, Brother John? I said, well, I simply mean it. Jesus himself says, matter of fact, go over to John chapter 9 with me and look at what the Lord Jesus said in that 9th chapter of John and verse number 4. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible as a reminder. Because look at what the Savior said. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And then when you realize, as you look at your Bibles and you understand your Bibles, James says in James chapter 5 and verse number 18, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I mentioned it tonight. I believe Jesus is coming. I think every child of God ought to be looking for Jesus every single day. He said he's coming. He didn't say when he's coming, but if he said he's coming, I believe he's coming. And so consequently, we have limited time. We don't understand how vital and how important reaching the lost is. And then in the day and age in which we're living, just think about the time as far as the political environment of the world is concerned. I mean, there are how many countries are there today, Dr. Davidson, where you can't get a missionary into that country? Try to go to any of the Middle East countries with the gospel of Jesus Christ today. I mean, try to go into China with the gospel, just open to plant churches. The way we're getting into China is almost incognito. Matter of fact, I had a businessman in my church when I was pastoring, and one of his great joys was he was going into China on business constantly with about a suitcase full of Bibles, and he was taking Bibles in. But politically, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that the doors of opportunity in the world, they are fast closing. And so while we've got opportunity, we need to be mindful that the Word of God says that that's our obligation. That's our responsibility. We are to be witnesses. And then when you look at it from a spiritual point of view, how many people would have died today? I don't know. But I'm sure it's into the thousands and thousands of people. Their life ended today. And if they're not saved, my Bible says they're lost. And if they're lost, my Bible says they're going to spend eternity in hell. And whether some preachers like it or they don't like it, my Bible says there's fire in hell. There's pain in hell. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be cognizant of it. And the method of preaching the gospel to every creature, it's varied. It's just not pulpit preaching. Now, there's a place for the pulpit. Thank God for that. But it's so different. I believe that one of the things I could do in behalf of my father was I could pray every single day for my lost dad. I could do that. That was something I could do. I found out that I couldn't witness to him. I'd witness to my dad. My dear mother would stand behind my father, and she'd be, oh, no, doing that, because she knew there was going to be a confrontation come up. And mother, she got really upset when the man she had been married to for years and years and years and her oldest son were at each other, you know. So consequently, there is the power of prayer. How many have lost loved ones? Let me see your hands. Hold them up, come on. Yeah, I have a lost brother. Dr. Ed Johnson, senior pastor, First Baptist Church, 35 years, pastor emerges. A brother who is lost and on his way to a priceless eternity. Pray for him every day. Every day. I told God before my dad got saved, if it took my funeral to bring my dad to Christ, I was ready to go. And I meant it. Didn't like the idea of leaving her. Didn't like the idea of leaving my children, my grandchildren. Didn't have any great-grandchildren at that time. I'm finding out, though, great-grandchildren are just as expensive as grandchildren, so it doesn't make any difference. I'm praying I don't live to be a great-great-granddaddy. But there is this thing called praying. Mentioned a few verses on it last night. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking shall be opened unto you. That's just as much the Bible as John 3:16. So you just sit here tonight like I who stand here tonight and have lost loved ones. Are you praying for them? Are you asking God daily to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How about this? How about beginning? How about giving? You know, Pastor Jerry, if 50% of the Baptist churches that take the position that you take, Dr. Sam takes, we take up in Rosemont. If 50% of those churches had tithing members in at least 50% of their church membership, there's no telling what we could be doing for the Christ. That illustration you used yesterday, it blew me, I mean, right out of my shoes. 102 members. How many will be in church? 102. Well, how's the giving? How many tithers out of that 102? 102. I don't think I need to say any more about that. But how's your giving? How's your faith promise giving? I had folks at First Baptist Church at Rosemont. They had more toys than they could ever use in 5 lifetimes. And what we got in the offering plate was what I called their conscience money. That's what it was. Snowmobiles. I mean, all kind of things. One guy telling me about it, his golf driver that he paid $400 for. He's a maniac. I have trouble paying $400 for my car. Yeah, but that's what he said, $400. Just makes no sense. And And of course, how about this? Young people, you listening? How about giving yourself? I've come to a conclusion, Dr. Sam. I'd have no problem recommending a young person to come to Heartland Baptist College. If what you told me is the truth, and I believe you to be an honest man, what you told me, I have no problem. I think you'd get a good education there. And the thing I like, they have the right Bible, they have the right music. And I figured this out, they have some people who love them. And that goes a long way with this old preacher. Long, long way. I'm not interested in how many PhDs they have on their faculty. In my book, the way I look at education, I look at the education old Dr. Bob Billings, the first president of Niles Anderson College, looked at it. Said to me one day, he said, yeah, he said, Brother Ed, he said, a Bachelor of Arts. He said, that BA all means is a bunch of applesauce. He said, well, he said, I got a master's degree. He said, oh, they got a master's degree. And Brother Bob said, more applesauce. And he said, I had one guy tell me, well, I'm a PhD. He said, that just simply means piled higher and deeper. My Bible says God looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Besides that, I have no interest in sending my children to sit under the influence of some ungodly lost PhD. They're going to destroy their faith in their God. That ain't going to happen in my life if God will help me to do it. So the reward for preaching the gospel, though, to every preacher is very great. Very, very great. The immediate reward, of course, I think we could say, is that the presence of the Lord comes into the life. The life is changed. My life got changed when I got saved. Came a new creature. And as I look back now over those years that I've been walking with the Lord, 61 years now come this August 17th, boy, it's a ton of work. I mean, you talk about change. It's just absolutely been incredible. I look at the joy that's been mine of leading all those souls that I've led to Christ. I look at the hundreds and hundreds of kids that are now adults. Some of them, believe it or not, are approaching grandparenthood. And they still call me preacher. I very, very seldom does a week go by where I don't get an email or a message from some of our kids that grew up at First Baptist. And they're gone now. They're not all preaching. They're not all missionaries now. They're living all over the world, some of them, doing various things. We've got lawyers. We've got nurses. We've got a couple of doctors now. But they all say the same thing. You'll always be my preacher. They got a pastor now. But you'll always be my preacher. You don't put that in a paycheck. You don't put that in the paycheck. You couldn't pay me enough for that. The joy, the blessing, people, that God pours upon us when we give ourselves to Him. Young people, listen to the old man tonight, would you? Listen to him now. Only one life will soon be passed. Seems like yesterday I was a kid. It really does. Seems like yesterday I was walking down the halls of Carl Gable Senior High School. Getting ready to graduate from high school. Saying hi to all the different guys and gals that you know. And boy, now the years have just gone by. And like my dad used to tell me, he used to always say to son, as you get older, I used to say, you know, all time moves so slow. I remember one time we were going, and he was taking us to New York City. We were going to see the Statue of Liberty. Just my sister and I and Dad. Mother was staying home with the four younger kids at that time. And boy, I couldn't wait for it to come. And it just seemed like it was never going to get there. And Dad would tell me, yeah, you just wait as you get older. It'll go by so fast you won't know it. And boy, I'll tell you what, my dad was right. But only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You young ladies, that's why you always want to be careful with the guy you marry. want to be very careful about that. One of my real heartaches, is I had some girls that grew up at First Baptist Church. They married wrong. And it ruined their life. Not only broke their heart, it ruined their life. You young men, marry right. That woman sitting over there in the white, when I surrendered to preach, we had been married 6 years. She didn't know she was going to be a preacher's wife. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. A lot of people didn't believe in what had happened. And I've said this across America. I could have looked the world over and not found a better pastor's wife. But here's the other side of the coin. I was in seminary with guys who got married, and their wives knew that they were going to be preacher's wives. And there came a time in their life when they said to their husband, "You get out of the ministry, or I'm getting out of this house." I could call the names of some of them, and many of you here tonight would recognize the name. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't ever forget it. Because the future rewards are going to be well worth what we ever will have experienced here on earth. Trust me when I say that. And then let me just say this in last. The equipment for preaching the gospel is still available. And that's the Word of God and the power of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't ever forget that. So thank God for the preaching conference, President Hope Baptist Church. But don't forget, Jesus said, "Ye are my witnesses. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Don't lose sight. Don't lose sight. Pastor Jerry, don't lose sight of those four teenage boys I saw sitting on a car as I drove through town about 9:45 last night. Just sitting there on the hoods of the car. Nothing to do. And I looked at him, and my heart just broke. Surely somebody ought to go downtown Jasonville sometimes, because every time I've gone through town at night, there's kids down there, 15, 16, 17 years old, I don't know. They're sitting there, almost waiting for somebody to come and say, "Help me. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what life is about. So I'm going to sit on the hood of my car." Because surely they're not watching the traffic go by. I mean, I was the only car within sight of my rearview mirror. Where was it ahead of me? There's lost people all over your area, people that need Jesus. And He said, "Ye are my witnesses." Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Because I certainly believe probably most of us here know Christ tonight. If there is one here who doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight, my prayer this evening, Lord, is before they would leave the property of Blessed Hope Baptist Church this Monday night, they know in whom they have believed. That God, they'd come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus tonight. But I do believe most of us, Lord, we know Christ. And we're certainly thankful for the testimony of this place. As I said to you last night, I have the joy of illustrating this church around the country now. But yet, God, I do believe there's more that can be done. And so I ask this evening that you'd work in the hearts and lives of these good people. And God, because of the time we will spend here tonight, and God, there'll be some decisions made that will honor you and that will glorify you and that will be responsible, Lord, for others coming to know Christ. And I'll thank you for that and I'll praise you for it, Lord. For I ask and pray in the name of your Son, our soon coming Savior. I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.